Okay. I'd be back. All right. Earlier, before, or I guess during the study, I was talking about how, like, a Christian with a gun just doesn't seem real. Okay? Hold on. Okay. Now, and then it was posted in the room, Ezekiel 33:6, which says, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, then the people be not warned. If the sword come and take away and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at watchman's hand. If you read from the top of that chapter and way past 6, you'll see that nowhere does it say that the Christians should pick up a sword. There's nothing wrong with warning them. In fact, if you look in all recorded history of the Christian church, you'll see that every time a watchman did warn the Christians of a sword coming, what did they do? Did they pick up arms and start fighting and shooting and killing? No. They left the area. In Rome, they actually had to flee into the catacombs. And then the Lord himself in Revelation says he had them flee to the wilderness. Look at the Wesleyans, how they went up into the mountains and fled. They could have very easily fought, but they didn't. And so it's pretty plain in the scriptures that if we put our faith in mankind, if we put our faith in ourselves and our own abilities, then we're going to, you know, it's like they said in the Old Testament when the people were going against God and deciding to do things on themselves. One of the prophets stepped up and says, is there not a God in Israel? In other words, does the Lord thy God not protect his people? And then when you look at the 500 million Christians that were killed by the Roman Catholic Church, not one of them picked up arms. Not one of them. And yes, it does say to take a sword with you in the New Testament, as Jesus says. Remember when I says, don't take a sword and don't take any script. He says, okay, now take the sword, take the script. I did a study on this some months ago with a brother in Christ, and we found that the sword he's talking about is for cutting meat. It's for making meals. Because before, they would have to go, they would be going to homes that would feed them, and now they're being sent out into the world, and some of these people are not even going to not feed them. They're going to be kicking them out of their towns and stoning them, and, you know. And so it wasn't for protecting. In fact, two swords between 12 men, or two knives is what it was. It was for cutting meat between 12 men. Was not going to be much of a stance. It was for cutting meat. And so, but yeah, still, it's pretty obvious. If those swords were meant to be used as weapons that Jesus said to take, or those knives, then why did not a single of the 500 million Christians that were prophesied to die for their faith, that are under the altar crying out with their blood cries out, why did not one of them pick up a sword and fight? Because we are not of this world. Our King is not of this world. If they want to, they could do what they want in the world against us, and we can just leave the area. It's just like with the mark of the beast when it comes. What does it say in the prophecy? We will flee into the mountains. We will flee into the forests and flee into the caves. It doesn't say we're going to stand there and fight and shoot and kill. Yeah, amen. It says in the book of Luke, do violence to no man. Because a lot of people think that they're fighting against the man when in fact they're not. Because if the man didn't have the demon in him telling them to use weapons against us, they would be with us. So, even Jesus stopped Peter from cutting the guy's ear off. He put the ear back on. Some people believe there's no way that any healing of amputation has ever occurred. I remember a few months ago we discussed that in here about, yeah, there was an amputation that was healed. The guy got his ear cut off. Jesus put it back on. So, I had to clarify that because this is how I believe. This is how I've seen people that wanted to kill me in my past, and we are getting threatened now, as a matter of fact. And I am the pastor, and I have to guard the pulpit. And I'm just concerned for young ones that may have misunderstood Ezekiel 3:6. And we have a right for self-defense. Yeah, but that's. We have to be very, very careful in regards to that, you know. But still, even with self-defense, like when I was a young guy and I was getting beat up and I finally started to get, I was just talking about this last night as well, or even maybe this morning, the Lord got me to a point in my life, and I was getting beat up a lot, and I still hadn't grown to be 6'2" yet, but I got a lizard for a pet, an anole lizard, you know, those chameleons. And I was, my dad would never buy me any food for it. And they ate flies. And so what I did was I learned how to catch flies in midair. And then I realized that I was fast enough to catch a fly in midair. I'm also fast enough to stop these guys from hitting me. And that's what happened from that day forward. When they started trying to pound on me, I'd grab their fists in midair and stop them. And that's all I did. I never punched back ever. And I held them and kept them from hitting me. And then later on, of course, I grew to 6'2", and they, for some reason, I couldn't see those guys anywhere. They just never came around anymore. So I just, you know, I just wanted to clarify that, because, you know, we got some young ones that may have misunderstood the word sword in Ezekiel. It was the sword was coming at them in a military way to attack them. But if in the New Testament, the sword, of course, is speaking of the scriptures. And that's why I said the sword meant scriptures when Brother Craig was saying that, you know, sharpen your sword. He's talking in the New Testament prophetic sense, sword meaning scripture. Whereas in Ezekiel, actually meant military. They were coming against them to kill them, because the Bible's not going to come against you and kill you. Well, of course, it'll kill the old man and, you know, then a new creation, but this is not the context of Ezekiel here. And so I just wanted to try to clarify that. Yeah, the two-edged sword is actually the Old and New Testament. That's why it's got two edges. So praise his name. Wait, I got some PNs here. Yeah, self-defense. Yeah, that's perfectly acceptable, Joel and anybody else that's concerned about that, but you have to take it to a certain point. You know, you can stop them from pounding on you, you know. That's about it. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, start pounding on them or pull a gun out and blow their brains out. No, you know. After seeing the Lord's hand move in these so many times in my life and how he's protected me and my loved ones, if I was to get a gun, I would be putting faith in myself and my ability to shoot straight. And I would rather put my faith in my father, who is a lot better at anything than I am. And plus, who knows, the guy may be misunderstanding things and I'm killing him, and he just, you know, he could be, you know, like I said, he will, yeah, amen, what Sister Bonnie just put, he will fight our battles. No weapon shall come near our, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Even if it does kill you, it can't kill the soul. See, that's my point. Even if they kill me, I really don't care, because I'm sick of living here anyway. And it's not that I'm suicidal or nothing. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to stay alive as long as my father allows. But, boy, would it be nice to be able to take a nap. But, you know, that's why I always joke around on the street. If someone sticks a gun in your face, you know, well, you know, how dare you threaten me with heaven? You know, this is, of course, before I understood that when you died, you slept for a long time before heaven, of course, came to you. How are the saints crying? How long till you avenge? Yeah, that's under the altars. And we don't know how long they're going to be crying. You're talking about the ones that are beheaded. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to need to be beheaded in the days of the Mark of the Beast, which is, well, hopefully in our lifetime, because I'd like to get out of here. There's 30,000 guillotines on U.S. soil right now. I talk about that on my guillotines page. So. Yeah, I know the recording thing is different, Bonnie. I shut off the sermon recording. This is a different recording. Just in case, I thought maybe we would have a POGM event here, but, you know, because we got, you know, that POGM event page, we have some stuff on there. Yeah, and that too, like Bridget put, talk to them in a caring manner, they will stop because it's something they never experienced before, someone they're hitting, talking kindly to them. That too. You know, and I found that, you know, because, like, talking to someone, and it really works. I've talked my way out of a lot of, this is one of the things my brothers used to think I was a coward. And when I was, because I, you know, I was the oldest one in the family, and they fought a lot, but I never did. And they always thought I was a coward. And I says, no, I says, you guys know for a fact that I can hit that guy 5 or 6 times before he can hit me once. It's not about being a coward. It's about not wanting to hurt the guy. And that was even before I was a Christian, the Lord put that in me. Because I knew what it was like when I was, maybe it's because when I was a little kid I got beat up so much and it didn't really hurt. And I used to think, why do they hate me? And then I knew I could pound this guy into oblivion, but I knew how it felt to be beat up when I was a kid. And I can't give that same feeling to somebody else. I just couldn't do it. No matter how much I didn't like the guy, even before I was a Christian, I thought that was just wrong to do. You know, you gotta love your brother more than yourself. So. I got some other PMs here. Hold them. But how are they crying? Because they are asleep. Now, see, it's the same thing, John and Mary. That's a good point. Good question, though. John and Mary are asking, how are the saints crying out under the altars in Revelation that have been beheaded? Their blood cries out. It's the exact same way that Abel's blood cried out after Cain killed him. It's not really a mouth inside the blood. What it is the Lord is, he's using symbology here. It's symbolism, where he's saying that, okay, your spilt blood, someone has been murdered. That declares someone has killed me, you know, and it cries out in a way, you know. It's symbolic, exactly. It's just symbolic. So, okay, that's about it for the PMs, I guess. Okay, so those of you listening on the radio, thank you for listening. Hope and pray you're blessed. We're going to go back to the sermons. We got a whole mess of new ones to put on here. We got over 30,000 minutes, which means you can listen to WTPR for 21 straight days and never hear a sermon repeated. And like I said last night, we're shooting to get it up to 6 months, because we've got enough audios now to do 6 months where you can listen to WTPR for six straight months without hearing a repeat. Because I don't like to repeat certain laws, you can tell. I mean, all my sermons are on the site. Not one of them has been repeated. And so we go as the Lord leads, you know. So I'm going to start with May 23rd, 2009. It's a Sabbath study. Hope and pray you're blessed. Okay, we're off the air. All right. Oop, go ahead there, Brother Rick.
Brother Nick, I did not want to do anything to upset you or anybody else in regards to the verse I put on there. I know that we disagree with each other on weapons, and that's fine. And I'm not trying to do anything to upset anybody. My point is just that we have the right to defend ourselves and our families because we are His children. And our viewpoints are different on that. And I apologize for frosting your bonnet if I did that. Amen.
I did not get upset, Rick. Not at all. So please understand that. You know, I mean, listen to the tone of my voice. No, I was just concerned for the children that may have misunderstood Ezekiel 33:6. That's all. That's why I mentioned the way I mentioned it. I did not get the least bit upset. So, and I know we disagree. I know we, you know, this is something we've disagreed for a long time, so no big deal. You want me to read this, Bonnie, this thing from chapter 321 of letter November 17th or whatever it is. It's Upward Look, page 3. Is that what you're talking about here? You want me to read this, please? Okay. All right, it says, and this is cast your burdens upon Jesus. If those of you listening on the phone are still there, it's page 335 or it's chapter 321. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you and do time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, we were kind of like, that verse was used last night, too. Your mind may often be clouded because of pain. Then do not try to think, but just rest, and show that you have committed your soul to God as unto a faithful Creator. It is your privilege to show in your weakness and suffering that you do not doubt the love of God toward you, and that you know that He is faithful who has promised that, and that you trust soul and body in His hands, that He will keep that which is committed to His trust. Let your mind dwell upon the goodness of God, upon the great love wherewith He has loved us, as evidenced in the work of redemption. If He did not love us and consider us of value, then this great sacrifice would not have been made. He is beneficent in mercy and grace. Let your heart and mind be at rest like a tired child in the arms of its mother. His everlasting arms are beneath you. In all your afflictions, Jesus is afflicted. What a privilege it is for you, now afflicted, to find a refuge in Jesus. And that's another thing, too, that reminds me. Jesus didn't lash out. He didn't start a fight. He actually told them to put down the sword, and He picked up the ear and put it back on. He didn't even do self-defense at all, because He trusted His Father to take care of the whole situation. And I've seen that in my day, too. You know, like I can stop people from hitting me, but I'm not going to hit back. You know, besides, people can actually beat themselves up. If you avoid their punches, you do that for 30 seconds or a minute, the guy's going to be wheezing like an old lady. You know, he's going to end up beating himself up. So she goes on, the gospel armor seems too weighty to be borne. Well, Jesus Christ is your armor. Hide in him, and the wicked one will not harass or confuse your faith. Jesus has bequeathed his peace to you. Praise the Lord that you have felt the cleansing efficacy of the Savior's blood. Upon your soul, the Son of Righteousness hath arisen with healing in his wings. How empty and unsatisfying is every earthly thing. But Jesus, the precious Savior, is your spiritual sustenance. He has linked your life with his life. The word of his grace is manna to the believing soul. The precious promises of the word are life, greatness, and peace. Do not be troubled. Jesus loves you and will care for you and bless you. The active, aggressive battle you can no more fight, but you can let Jesus fight it for you. He says to you, give your case entirely into my hands. Be still and know that I am God. That's a big statement there, that he is God. He can handle it. No problem. And then she goes, dear sister blank, of course, we hope and pray that the Lord will give you help and strength under the severe taxation that is upon you. That God that saw Nathaniel under the fig tree sees you and understands all your griefs and all your sorrows. The Lord Jesus will be your strength in this day of your affliction. The word is the living bread. Eat of it daily. It will be a sustaining power to do all that you must do. It will infuse immortal vigor into your soul, perfect your experience, and bring to you those joys which are real and which abide forever. Another thing I noticed about guns, too, I'm just thinking like David Koresh. I know David Koresh. Oh, I didn't know him personally. His name is actually Vernon Howell. Why he changed his name is beyond me. And I don't know the whole story behind him. I do know some illegalities that were involved in his murder and stuff like that, but it also seemed a little strange to me that he would have this school and the commune and all that stuff in one place, and they never went out and they never shared their faith from what it looks like. But when it got bad for them is when they bought all those guns. As soon as the enemy of souls sees you doing that, I mean, even if you're a millionaire or a billionaire and you buy a bazooka, the government's always going to have a bigger gun than you. And so that's when they feel they have the ability. That's when Satan knows that he has the ability to move in and take you, because now you have stepped out of your father's will in regards to getting the gun. And so now, you know, that's just the way I look at it. Okay. And, So hold on. Let me see. Okay. You're welcome. John and Mary, you're welcome. Okay, let me read this one. View and Herald, Volume 20, July 8, 1862, page 44. It says, these slain are representatives crying to God to have their blood avenged on them that dwell on the earth, the same as the voice of Abel's blood from the ground. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, more or less what I said earlier. Genesis, of course, chapter, 4, verses 9 and 10. Or the cry of the stone from the wall and the answer of the beam out of the timber. Habakkuk, chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 11. Or the cry of the hire of the laborer, James chapter 4, verse 4. Why didn't he use Roman numerals in here? Anyway, if it be said that these souls must be conscious being in heaven in order to cry, then we reply that Abel's blood, the stone, and the beam, and the money are also conscious, as they are also represented as crying. But really, if these souls are in heaven in the participation of fullness and joy and pleasures forevermore, why are they then represented as crying for vengeance on those that cut short their mortal life with all its woes and hasten them to the enjoyment of the perfect bliss of heaven? That makes perfect sense. Why would they be crying in heaven when that's where we want to go? That's the place to be. Yeah, amen. Thanks, Brother Hawk. None of the apostles ever defended themselves by fighting back when they themselves were afflicted. They, the apostles, knew something far greater and more receptive than those that were causing the affliction. Like, for example, when Jesus, the first time they were going to throw him off the mountain, what happened? You know, throw him off the cliff? Okay, you might think that it's very scary right now. Any minute now, they're going to throw me off the cliff. Well, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they wouldn't bow to the statue, and they told the king, look, you know, even if the Lord doesn't protect us in the fire, we're still going to not bow to that statue. And then when you look at Jesus, how all of a sudden the angels that were protecting him confused the crowd or something, and he was able to walk out from amongst them, is evident that that will happen with us too, because everything Jesus did was an example unto us that we're going to be going through. And so, amen to that. That, you know, these are the apostles. And look at Peter. Or no, it was Paul. They lowered him down in a basket. He fled when the sword was coming towards his area. Rather than defending himself, he got out of there. And then, of course, he was killed later, but that's when his work was done. If your work is not done, they ain't going to have, you know, nothing. But if your work is done and you are not able to go through the plagues of Revelation, then, yeah, then you are going to have a martyr's death. Yeah. And then, yeah, amen, of course, our the ultimate example is Jesus Christ. He went to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter. No crying out at all. He didn't even rail any accusations against them, you know. To live in Christ, to die is gain. Yeah, amen to that. To die is gain. And that's the other thing that also gets me, that one passage. Don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear he who can destroy body and soul in hellfire. In other words, some of your bodies are going to get killed. That's pretty blunt. You know, some of us will be killed. 500 million Christians that we can count, thanks to the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs, have been killed. And none of them, you know, defended themselves. They fled to the best of their abilities and, of course, were caught, some of them, 500 million of them, actually. But, anywho, pray for those who persecute you. Amen, Christy. It's another good one. And what Gina Rose put there with to live is Christ and to die is gain. Okay, hold on. Let's see. When you look at the Gideon battle, a few thousands, that was not offensive position on behalf of Gideon. Yeah. And that, we brought that up last night, too, as we were discussing the Gideon thing. Although, well, Gideon fought. Well, says, yeah, first of all, we're dealing with leaders of nations, you know, like kings and rulers were allowed to go, for, like David, go out and kill. Well, he broke commandment number 6. No, commandment number 6 doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. Mankind has changed the word to kill. The definition of the word kill in that particular instance means murder. It was perfectly accepted for King David to go forth and kill because he was a king, he was a leader, but none of us are kings and leaders. And then still, Gideon still, 300 against 30,000? I mean, come on. It was obvious God was the one fighting, like David and Goliath. David was running towards Goliath. It's obvious God was fighting that battle. Yeah. 144,000 wash their robes and do not become leaders of armies. Amen to that. Amen. They glorify the Lord. So praise the Lord. It's just hopefully a blessing to those that have issues in that area. Okay, what's this? Yeah, Rick just put in the room. He says, as far as self-defense, when one's life or property is threatened, there is not a whole lot in the Bible concerning this. Exodus 22 does show, okay, this is Old Testament, by the way, but it's still that doesn't mean much of anything other than, you know, Jesus says, but now, remember when he says an eye for an eye, but now I tell you, okay, because obviously they were misunderstanding the eye for the eye and eye for things. But anyway, it says Exodus 22 shows quite a bit about God's attitude towards self-defense. If a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, say, yeah, there's the eye for an eye thing. The defender is not guilty of bloodshed. And what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in the New Testament? Remember when I said, but now you do it this way, right? What about the Sermon on the Mount? So then anyway, Rick goes on to say, let me read the verse so that I don't take him out of context. If a thief be caught breaking in, and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed, but if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed. A thief must certainly make restitution, but if he has nothing, he must be sold to pay for his theft. Exodus 22, verses 2 and 3. And I don't know what Biblia, whatever that website is. It's just a Bible, obviously. Obviously, here we see that when a thief breaks into someone's house at night, that a person defends his home and slays the thief, God does not hold that death over the defender's head. However, God does not wish for anyone to take law into his own hands. That is why it is said. So then why confuse? Well, anyway, this is why it is said that if a thief is struck down during the daylight, the defender is guilty of bloodshed, because he knows. Obviously, it's a thief. At night, you don't know what's going on. It could be a murderer or it could be a thief. You don't know, you know. And so... Oh, that's the NIV Bible? Ooh, that's an NIV Bible. Okay, let me see what it says in Exodus 20, verse, the NIV Bible is not a safe Bible here, so hold on, let me get Exodus. Oops, hold on, Exodus 22. Smorey is probably going to say more or less the same thing, because they don't have enough knowledge to twist the Old Testament. If a thief is found breaking in and he is smitten dead, he died, there shall no blood be shed. Yeah, so it's more or less the same thing, it's only in today's language. But still, what did Jesus say in the New Testament, okay? Let's see, let me see if I can find it easy enough. Because I don't know exactly where it's at. It's probably the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, here. Well, that's the I be evil, pluck it out thing. Okay, that's the other one. Right. If anybody can find that passage, if you know what I'm talking about, where Jesus discusses the killing of others, and then, you know, in the past, and then he says, but now you do it this way, because that means they obviously misunderstood what he was saying in the Old Testament. So if anybody knows where it's, I'm looking in my, turn the other cheek kind of a thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I should be looking for. Okay, now I'm in the book of Acts. So let me say, turn. Okay, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Go out the next day to the thief would be to take revenge personally. Yeah, and that's amen, Hawk. That's not, we're not of revenge. Yeah, I'll look up eye for an eye here. Eye for an eye. And okay, yeah, thank you. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 says, you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee. Yeah, I should have just read up a verse. And if any man sue thee in the law and take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go to him twain. And the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth thing is also a life for a life. It's all intertwined into the same area there when you go into that passage. In the Old Testament. I'd have to look it up. But that's what I'm getting at there. Because Jesus says, okay, there's a different way of handling things today, because obviously they misunderstood what he was saying in the Old Testament. That's why he said, but now, but I say unto you, but now kind of a thing. And so thank you, Fran, because she's the one that brought that up last night when we were talking about, this is weird how we were talking about this very thing last night, me, Luke, and Fran. And then Fran brought up the point, yeah, but Jesus said eye for an eye, and then everybody said, but now, this is how you do it. So even in that. Oh, and then I'm going to read it. Fran says, read the last stanza of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near on the Everlasting Arms. So, again, like if someone's, getting ready to push me off a cliff, and then I'm going to pray. It says, Lord, if you want me to die. It's like the one time I was headed towards to see this one judge. And I could have fled. I could have just ran away. But from what I was being told is the judge was a hanging judge. His name was actually Lynch, too. It's like, whoa. Talk about truth and names. But as I was on the way to see the judge, I was told before I was going to see the judge that it was a new judge now. This is back when I had that $5,000 fine and I got busted. This was before I was a Christian. And then I had become a Christian during all that turmoil and all those courtrooms. That's when I started pleading out to God to help me. And with all the strange things that were happening in my life. And so, I lost, of course, the case, and they gave me the probation for years, and then so much money to pay. And but I didn't have the money, and the probation officer told me, he says, well, there was a guy in here last week that had the exact same setup as you have with a bunch of kids like you do, and this judge told him, look, you've got 30 days to come up with this money. If you don't, you're going to jail. And so as I'm walking towards that place, and walking towards the courtroom, I'm going to go see the judge. I'm in prayer, and I'm saying, whatever, Father, if you want me to go to jail. It's kind of like walking towards a cliff, And so he says, if you want me to go to jail, I'll go to jail. And there must be someone in the jail you want me to talk to, because I've been in jail before. But this was scary jail. This wasn't just a lockup in a county lockup. This was, the prisons. I've never been in a prison. Or at least they call it scary. I don't know. I trust the Lord wherever I'm at. And so as I get in there, there's like 100 people in there, and I had to sit through every single one of those cases. And there was 100 people, so there was maybe like 20 or 30 cases, because a lot of people were just friends. And they purposely, it seemed, they called me last. And I go up there and I told him, he says, what have you been doing? He's real angry. And I says, well, this is what I've been doing for the last year. And he says, you're only paying $50 a month. I says, yeah, Your Honor, that's all I can handle. I got 8 kids, I started a ministry. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And we talked for about 5 minutes back and forth, and all of a sudden he drops his gavel and says, inability to pay, case dismissed. And that's when I started crying in the courtroom. It was the first time I ever cried in front of somebody. He goes, how does that sound? And I says, it sounds like answer to prayer. And then I lost it, because that's what I was praying for. And so I saw it turn around like a snap, like that. 1 minute I'm going to jail, the next minute I'm not only not going to jail, but the $5,000 fine, which I only paid like maybe $1,000 on, not even. I probably only paid like $500, now that I think about it. Not even $500, because it was $50 a month I was giving them. And it was like less than a year. So it was gone, totally gone. And so, Amen, Brother Rick. Put your faith in Jesus. Amen. And Bible scripture. It is our compass. Amen. Trust no mortal. So, amen, amen. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, that's all. I didn't want to upset anybody. And, I wasn't upset. I have to guard the pulpit. I have to make sure that there's no misunderstandings. And praise the Lord, we were able to make sure there was no misunderstanding. So, praise His name. So, thank you, brother. Okay, now, Sister Christie says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again, and when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. In other words, He put Himself in His Father's hands. Thanks, Christie. So, that's a good one, yeah. In other words, just trust Him. And that's what I've been getting the last 20 years or so, ever since the threats started coming. Actually, my very first threat, someone wanted to kill me when I was like 16 or 17. This guy was a biker heroin dealer, and he wanted me dead. And I'm not going to say why. It doesn't make any difference. I didn't do anything illegal. I didn't sell drugs. I didn't do any of that goofy stuff. He just didn't like me for a specific reason. And he was dead, say, a month after that, when I heard about him wanting to kill me. And then he all of a sudden was walking across a creek, slipped on a slippery rock, smacked his head on the way down. 3 days later, he comes bobbing up downstream. He was dead. And so I've seen the Lord protect me and my loved ones, and even people that we have prayed for. And so, praise His name. Praise His name. So. Anywho, I'm going to go get me something to chew on. So, unless there's any other PMs here. But thank you, Brother Rick, for sparking a pretty interesting study there. Yeah. Amen. And that's, of course, a whole different time back then. The leader of the nation, was involved with that as well, so. Anyway, take care, everybody. God bless. We will see you soon. 4:00 today, of course, Central Time, for the, family study. Okay, wait, hold on. Brother Hawkins. Oh, yeah, the recording. Thanks, Bonnie. Well, I got one more PM here. Plus, keep in mind as well, if you believe and have faith that the Lord will protect you, then rest in that. Amen. Well put, well said. Then rest in that. So, amen and amen.